Good morning. How are you? Anybody here speak Spanish? No. You do? ¿Al español? Ah, buenos días. Me siento ya en casa. Estoy luchando por hablar en inglés ya hoy en día, de verdad. Gusto conocerte. Good morning. My name is Zach Faust. My wife, Karen, back here. And my youngest son, Logan. He is the youngest of our children, but he's also the tallest. So he likes it a lot when I call him the baby of the family, because he is taller than I am now. But he has been a tremendous help and blessing for us in the ministry there in Peru. I am originally from Kokomo, Indiana, just a little bit south of here, not too far. My wife is from Lansing, Michigan, so she is kind of right up about the same line there as part of Canada. This is my first time in Canada, I have to tell you. We've lived there, and I almost crossed into Canada one time when I was at Niagara Falls, but I was with a group from school where I taught. We were taught in an inner-city outreach school in Chicago for 16 years. And as I got ready to cross, one of the kids tapped me and said, "But Mr. Faust, I don't have any papers." And they were a group of Mexican children, and I found out about half of them didn't have any documentation as I was getting ready to enter into Canada. If we'd crossed in, they never would have made it back to America, and their parents would have been very upset with me. So I almost made it to Canada one other time, but didn't quite make it. So we're excited to be here and really enjoying it. Thank you very much for your wonderful hospitality, the very nice hotel you've put us up in. My wife can testify I slept like a log last night. It has been tremendous being here. We've been pretty much all over the world in the last few days, four continents just this last week. We were in South America just a little over a week ago in Peru. It was about 90 degrees or, probably about 34, 35 degrees Celsius as we were down there. And then we got into Chicago, and it was about minus 7 degrees Celsius. That was quite a welcome to America. We were there for 2 days, and I flew out to Ghana, West Africa. But we had a layover in Brussels, Belgium. Two of our planes had mechanical issues, and so they were forced to put us up in a hotel. Oh, that was nice. We went out and Belgian waffles. You know, French fries aren't French, but Belgian waffles really are Belgian. Oh, they are amazing. And chocolate on top of those. I love food, I'm going to tell you. So we really enjoyed that time there. And then went to Ghana, West Africa. And we were there for about a week for a missions mastermind with FBMI that got a chance to send us there. And then I got back here on Thursday afternoon. Got back to the States, Chicago, Thursday afternoon. And at least it warmed up. It was above zero. I was happy to see that. I used to love the cold, and I still do from a distance. But now we're in a warm weather down there. I'm not used to the cold anymore. And my kids have grown up and stolen all of my warm clothes that I had for the winter, all my thermal socks and all my nice clothes. So now we're doing just fine, but it is a different world for us. As I said, by way of introduction, my name is Zachary Faust. We've been in Lima, Peru for a little over 7 years now, about 7.5 years. We were in First Baptist Church of Hammond for many years. I came there in 1989 at a youth conference where the Lord touched my heart to serve him and called to serve the Lord full time. Came there in 1991 to study in Bible College at Hiles Anderson, graduated in 1996 and taught in City Baptist Schools and was assistant principal there until we left for the mission field in 2012. And then we've been there in Lima, Peru ever since May 31st, 2012, coming back and forth. It is a great pleasure to be with you here today. I hope to get to teach you a little bit about the Bible. I have to confess, I am more of a pastor as far as a heart goes than a missionary. I come here, I want to help you. I want God to do with you what he would have you to do. It would be a great privilege and pleasure of mine to know that the Lord touched your heart and used you perhaps to be called to go to a different part of the country. That is an exciting thing. However, my greatest desire, I have to say, is that the Lord would call you for his purpose and for his use, wherever that may be. I would not pretend to be God or pretend to play God with you today, but I would like to see God use you exactly how he would have you to be used. So if you have your Bible this morning, if you turn it to John chapter 14, please. John chapter 14. And let's look at verse number 1. John chapter 14, verse number 1. I'm going to try and leave a little bit of time for questions today, because I always enjoyed asking the missionaries questions. So I'm going to tell you up front, if you have questions, I think the Lord is speaking to us this morning. If you have questions about, someone's actually working on the roof. Don't worry about it, folks. It's okay. That's not the Lord trying to get in. He's already here. But if you have questions about Lima, Peru, or something like that, please keep them handy. We'll get to those in just a minute. I love to talk about the country where the Lord has taken us. We feel like it is our home now. As we come here, we love being with our family and miss them incredibly while we're gone. But the biggest thing for us is being there where the Lord has us. And we truly enjoy it. So any questions you have, I'd love to be able to answer them to the best of our ability. John chapter 14, verse number 1. We're going to read through to verse number 6. Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Let's pray, and we'll get into some teaching this morning. Lord, we do thank you for the opportunity we have to be here. We thank you so much, Lord, that you have blessed us and allowed us to meet together. Lord, the chance to be in a country where we have the freedom to do so is quite a blessing. A chance to be in a country where we can come together as Christian brothers and sisters and open your word and read it without fear of reprisal or fear of being put in jail. Lord, we're just thrilled for sure that this is a chance that we have to be here. Lord, we beg that you would work amongst us. Lord, I beg that you give me the Holy Spirit to open my mind and work with my tongue. Allow me to speak in a language not spoken in some time. Pray that you would work in the hearts of our listeners here, many who have grown up and were born in speaking other languages and other cultures. Lord, I pray that you would bridge that cultural gap and language gap today and allow us to communicate your wonderful word as we need your help to do. In Jesus' name, Lord, amen. Surrender. The title of the teaching this morning is just a little bit about surrender. As I say, I won't teach long. I just want to take a few minutes and talk about it. I believe the key to the successful Christian life is surrender. I do not believe we come to a time in our lives where we've gone beyond what is called surrender. I believe that if we are going to serve God, we must be completely and 100% surrendered to Him. When we come to a place where we become comfortable, when we come to a place where we've decided we've gone as far as we're going to go, when we come to a place where we feel like we've learned all there is to learn, I feel that we have stopped in our service for the Lord. I don't believe there can ever be a time where we can say, Lord, I don't want to go there. Lord, I don't want to do that. Lord, that's too far. Lord, that's too much. I believe we must maintain in our lives and our hearts surrender to the Lord. Surrender number one, I'm going to say, to be a missionary. Now, I just told you that I have more of a pastor's heart than a missionary's heart. Now, I'm telling you to surrender to be a missionary. So you may wonder what the difference is. When I was a young man, I was not raised in a Christian home. I went to a Christian school, and the Lord used that environment to touch my heart and to help me understand about salvation. When I got saved, my family wasn't in church. We'd gone to church, I believe, 2 times. At that point, and they still didn't go to church. About a year and a half later, I went back and got baptized because I was there. Then shortly after that, someone asked me to work in a bus ministry, going out picking up children for church. Even though I didn't go to church, they asked me to work in church. So I came to church for the first time as a bus worker. And here I am helping people come to church, and I didn't even go to church. And the Lord used that to touch my heart and to help me reach out and to have the mindset that church is helping others. Church is finding a way to surrender and help others. So as I came into church, my pastor invited us to a youth conference in the First Baptist Church of Hammond. 1989, and I went there with my friend. And he and I remember very distinctly, we looked at each other and said, we're going to go to the movies tonight. And he looked at me and said, why? I said, well, because once we go to this church and we surrender to God, we'll never be able to go to the movies again. And so we went to the movies one time, and we watched the movies that night, and we never went again. And sure enough, we walked in, and if you've ever been there, the old auditorium, which is now the Spanish auditorium, was the largest auditorium I'd ever seen. I walked in and was just amazed at how big that was, and it was bigger than a city block in most places. And through the preaching and teaching of that week, the Lord touched my heart and told me I needed to surrender to Him. It was the end of the week when I was there. There were 18 young people in our youth group, and I was the last one to go forward to surrender. But the Lord imposed upon my heart that day that I must surrender everything. I had been struggling in my life, to be honest, with some music. As a young man, I had taken all of my music, and I had a lot of cassette tapes. And if you young people don't know what cassette tapes are, just ask Siri, and she'll show you, or ask Google, and they'll bring up some pictures for you, so you can see what cassette tapes are. And so I had taken all my cassette tapes, and I had the vinyl LPs, yes, I did, and put those up in the closet up in the corner and decided I would no longer listen to that music. And after about a week or so, it's kind of like, well, you know, that one is not so bad. So I would pull the box down and pull it out and listen to that. And then about a few days later, well, that other one's not so bad either. And I would pull it down, open up, and I would listen to that. And I was into some pretty heavy, some pretty bad music. Elvis Presley, the Beatles, doo-wop music, that was my big thing. Chuck Berry, those were my weaknesses. And listening to all of that, there was some other stuff mixed in there for sure. But those were my big ones. And I would begin to take them out a few at a time and to listen to those. But the Lord each time would impose upon my heart that that music was not helping me grow as a Christian. When I went to the youth conference, God told me there that obviously I needed to give that up. So I went home, straight to my house. I got out all of my cassettes and my LPs, and I got a hammer. And I took that hammer, and I used that to break every one of those cassettes that I had. That solved the problem from there on. The only one that wouldn't break was Elvis Presley's Greatest Hits. And I hit it and hit it and hit it with my Greatest Hits, all that I had, and it wouldn't break. And so finally I took it out and stretched all the tape, put it back in there, my giant painting of Elvis Presley on the wall, T-shirts of all this other stuff, and put it all in a bag, went to my pastor's house about 11 o'clock at night, knocked on his door, dropped my music there in its fragments, and left that for my pastor. And that was what I had to do to surrender. I was not a good enough Christian to maintain an influence of worldly music and keep my mind upon Christ. I find that I battle well enough with just the influences that are around me on a day-to-day basis. And I needed to work hard to put into my life the good influences to get me through the day. For me, my issue of surrender was my music. That was the biggest thing, because it was what was keeping me throughout the day focused on other things. Surrender. Surrender to be a missionary. Now, when I say surrender to be a missionary, in 1989, God called me to serve Him. And I went to my pastor and I said, Pastor, I believe God wants me to preach. God wants me to surrender to preach. He said, okay, Zach, that's great. Go down front, make a decision. We'll tell people, get back to church. So that day, 1989, I began to preach. No joke. They put me up on Wednesday night. Zach, you're going to preach on Wednesday night. I did. I got up in front of the whole church. I had 3 points. I had 3 Bible verses. And in 35 seconds, I was done. And I sat down, and everybody just kind of looked around, applauded, and we all went home. They really liked that sermon. Don't worry, I can do a little bit more than 35 seconds today. 35 hours, maybe, is a little bit of a challenge. 35 minutes, no problem. But that was my first preaching. Well, then the next year we went to pastor school, 1990, and they were preaching, and they were talking about surrendering to be a pastor. And so I told my pastor, Pastor, I feel like I need to surrender to be a pastor. And he's like, okay, didn't you surrender to preach already? I said, I did, but they're saying surrender to be a pastor. So I surrendered to be a pastor. And then my pastor was preaching at a missions conference, and he said, everyone should surrender to be a missionary. So I thought, surrender to be a missionary? Wait, I surrender to be a preacher. I surrender to be a pastor. Now surrender to be a missionary? Well, all right, I'll surrender to be a missionary. So I surrendered to be a missionary. Now, it occurred to me later on, my pastor was a very gracious man. He pulled me aside and he said, Zach, you need to understand, when you surrender to God's will, when you surrender to preach, when you surrender to pastor, when you surrender to be a missionary, you surrender to do whatever God wants you to do. Many times in our lives, we want to say, God, I will do this for you. Like we're doing God a favor. God, you know what? I'll be a preacher. God, I'm going to preach for you. And like we're doing some great thing for him and saying that, God, you need me so much, I'd be willing to be a preacher for you. And many times we have great dreams of preaching to thousands of people and preaching to stadiums. Or many times someone will say, I'll be a pastor. And God, I'll surrender to be a pastor for you. I'll give up my dreams of going here and I'll find a little church and I'll be there. Or God, I'll be a missionary for you and I'll surrender to that. And I'll go to the farthest regions, and most people surrender to Africa. Because in their minds, that is the big thing. That's the one thing that they have to cross over in their minds. They have to be willing to do. And so they'll surrender to that. Let me say, I believe you should surrender. I believe you should be surrendered to do whatever God wants you to do. When I was about 17 years of age, I surrendered to be a missionary. I told, Lord, if you would have me to go, I'll be a missionary. I began to learn the Spanish language. We had a videotape course in our school from Becca Videos. It was called Por Todo el Mundo. Any of you here study with that course? Yeah? Muy bien, adelante. Then you know John 14:6 then, because that's the first verse you learned in Spanish with Mrs. McLam in the video. The same teacher is teaching today that taught me when I took that course. I took it in rum, and she was teaching then, and we had VHS cassettes that we put in. And now she's streaming online and in DVDs and everything else. But the same teacher's there, an excellent course. And I began to learn and to study and prepare myself in Spanish. And the Lord used it in a tremendous way. But I'd surrendered to be a missionary. I said, Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Now, when I graduated from Bible college, I spoke Spanish. I was ministering in Spanish. I did not speak it very well, but I spoke it. I had these dreams that God would allow me somehow to go to Mexico, that maybe he would allow me to go there. When I graduated, the Lord had other plans. We had 3 offers in Indiana, an offer at a Christian school. And I had already told God I was so glad when I graduated from the Christian school because I never wanted to go back. I don't like school. I like to be outdoors. I want to be in the field. You give me a chainsaw, I'm a very happy man. You give me a hammer and a saw, let me build something. Tear something down, I'm happy. Put me in a classroom, it doesn't really sit well with me. And so when I graduated, God made me a teacher. And so I got to be in the classroom. And for 2 years, I taught junior high and high school science and math and tremendously loved it. 2 years later, I had an opportunity to take a church in Texas, and God shut that down as a Spanish pastor. And I was confused for many years. God, when will you let me go? God, what do you have in plan for me? What do you have in store for me? What is in the future? And I remember many years sitting there in the church service, looking at my hands and thinking, Lord, you've given me the ability to speak Spanish. You've given me a desire to go, and yet you keep me here. But let me tell you, God was working on my heart and preparing me for the day, because he knew that above all, I needed to be surrendered. Many times we have a desire to do something, but we must be surrendered. Let me tell you that you need to be surrendered to missionary, pastor, preacher. But you need to be surrendered to whatever God would ask you to do. You need to be surrendered so when he says, let's go, you say, yes, sir. We look at the Great Commission and we think of it sometimes as this ethereal command that is way out there that we look at and say, oh yeah, everybody's supposed to be doing that. But if you think of it in a military term of a commission, your orders, what has been given to you to complete, get this job done. And God puts that commission in your hands and asks you to be a part of that great commission. Then we must understand that as our marching orders going forward and surrendered for whatever place God has for us in that great commission. Let me tell you that Jesus has prepared a place for you. We're in John 14, look in verse number 2. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. God is preparing a place for you in heaven. God is preparing something for you already. But let me tell you, God has also prepared a place for you here in this earth. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Your God has prepared for you something that he wants you to do. You were by no means an accident. You did not wander in here without purpose. God has looked at you and God has prepared something for you. I feel that God has put me in the place that is prepared for me. I feel like God has taken every instance of my life and used that to prepare me exactly for where I am. 16 years in a Christian school, I loved every minute of it. I became in charge of maintenance and curriculum and chapel and discipline and transportation and events and fundraising. And I feel like God used every event that he put in my life to train me for where I am today. You are not here by accident today. God has you here either to prepare or to serve, and normally to prepare while you're serving. I don't believe any of us are supposed to sit and that be the extent or the sema. I'm sorry, in English, how do we say that? The ultimate goal of our reaching, the pinnacle. Thank you. I'm sorry. I can't think in English too much anymore. The pinnacle of our Christian life. That should not be the extent of where we go of just sitting in church. We should be surrendered that while we're sitting, we're preparing for what God has for us. That while we're preparing, we're serving in some capacity to our Lord, surrendered to be a missionary. Jesus has a place prepared for you. Not just in heaven, but also here in his service. There is a place, a work on this earth prepared for you. What would it be? What is the place that God has prepared for you to work in here on this earth? What is the place that God has prepared for you to do here? My wife was joking the other day with a lady saying that I don't know a stranger. Where I come from, people talk to everyone. You wave at people you don't know. You stop people you don't know. You just talk to them. That's just how we are. My wife is from Michigan. Now, I don't know how it is in Canada. I've never been here. But in Michigan, the people are known as being a little bit colder. They don't talk to anyone at all, ever. They drive through the drive-thru, they hand their money, they get it back, and that's it. She laughs at me. I drive through the drive-thru. I already know their name, where they're from, their wife's name, their children's name, how they're doing, where they went to school. And she's like, do you know them? Well, no. And we drive away. Yet we went recently on a trip to the jungle, and we came back to the airport in Lima, Peru. We went to Huánuco in the jungle, and we came back, and while we're sitting there, the man was late to get us. I said, praise the Lord, because I need a real cup of coffee. In the jungle, the coffee is horrible, just instant Nescafe. And so we went up to Starbucks to get a cup of coffee, and we sit down and we pray over our coffee and our food there. And a man says, are you a pastor? Yes, sir, I am. And we began to talk, and he said, God called me to be a pastor, but I've never done it. I know I need to do so before this Sunday. I said, well, where do you live? Piura, North. Oh, good. I have a friend there. Call him tomorrow. Talk to him. He'll help you know what you need to know to be a pastor. We walk down and we get in line. We're standing in line to fly out. And a man and I begin to strike up a conversation. Come to find out he's in charge of Homeland Security in an area where we're going to be soon, preaching the conference. And he says, look, I never do this. Here's my personal number. If you ever need anything, you call me. I'll take care of you while you're there. God seems to just bring people across our paths because of who we are. God has prepared us for what we are. Maybe you're not like that. Maybe you don't talk to everybody wherever you go. Maybe you're a little bit colder. That's okay. Let God use your personality, how it is to reach those around you. God has prepared you for where you are. God has prepared you for the place he has put you. And if there is a work for you, if there is a place you are to serve where you are today, then we better start serving so God can keep preparing us for what he has in the future. I don't think I'm done yet. I think God has bigger, better, greater things that await me farther on. And I feel like I better keep serving where I am so that God can prepare me for those things that await me. I believe the same thing for you, that God has bigger, better things prepared for you farther on. And so we better keep serving where we're at to prepare ourselves for the future God has for us. Surrender to be a missionary, number one. Number two, surrender to go. Surrender to go. In Matthew chapter 4, verse number 19, we see the story there, the famous story where Jesus is walking and he sees the men who are standing there mending their nets and preparing and cleaning up after a hard day's work. And when Jesus walks by, he looks at these men in verse number 19 and he says, and he saith unto them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. If you've ever been in somewhat of a poverty-stricken area or a third world country, something like nets are very valuable. Traditionally, this is something that is handed down from one generation to the next. It is something that, where we live, we're right on the ocean. We live about 4 blocks from the Pacific Ocean. It's a beautiful area where we're at, a fishing area not too far from there. And the men will sit out all day making and mending their nets. But these nets to them are a valuable resource. It's not something that they take lightly or something they just get or just pick up or just come across. For many of them, it is a substantial investment to get these nets. And they do so so that they can feed their families, so they can prepare for their future, so they can leave these nets perhaps to their children. And many young men as children begin to make their own nets with their father's help to go on. And these nets will serve them all their lives. These men forsook their nets in an instant and walked away following Jesus. Let me ask you, are you surrendered enough to go? Are you surrendered enough that when Jesus comes and says, hey, I need you to go, and it's yes, sir, at an instant? When Jesus asks you and says, hey, would you come with me? The answer is, well, yes, of course. Or do we stop and put up a pretext? Is there something else that goes off in our mind, and our mind begins to focus on all we've done? But I worked overtime to buy this. But I'm on a payment plan to finish paying this off. But in my future, in my dreams, I have this waiting me. What is the thing that holds us back? Are you surrendered to go? Peter says later on in Matthew, he says, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. When Peter says that, it's because he did. He gave up all to follow Jesus. Are we surrendered enough to go? Are we surrendered enough to follow him? Hebrews 11:6 says it like this, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible here makes it very clear that if we're going to follow God, if we're going to come to God, we must believe, number one, that he is, and that he will reward us. You don't just forsake all and walk away unless you feel like there is some reward. When Peter asked him that, he said that we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Peter looked at Jesus and said, okay, we've given up all. What is it that awaits us? This is our eternal investment plan. We put all our chips in your basket. We're following you. What are we going to have for that? If you're going to follow God, you have to believe that there is some reward for doing so. There are not many people in this world that are selfless enough just to do good and expect no return. Most of us like to eat. I like to eat. Wherever I go, most of my memories are built around food. You've already noticed the Belgian waffle comment. I love coffee. I love good food. Wherever I go, I find something good to eat. God has been very good to me. Sitting in the middle of a jungle, looking out over the rainforest, and they bring me fried eggs, fried bananas, and an animal that they deep fried called mahas, which is the largest rodent known to man. And it was very delicious, let me tell you. God has been very good to me. Wherever we go, God has allowed us to find something good to eat. When we seek God, when we serve God, we must believe that he is. Number one, we got to believe that he's there, he's our God. And number two, we must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not half on, half off. Not those that jump in and jump out. Not those that call themselves a Christian but want to do their own thing and ask God to put his stamp of approval on it. People that diligently seek God, we do that because we believe he is going to reward us. Many times when we lived in America, I had the privilege of working 2 or 3 side jobs because I was in the ministry and I also like to eat. And so I had a side job working as a mechanic for a company called Schneider National. They have quite a presence here in Canada as well. We had many Canadian drivers that came down while we were there. And many times they would offer me a shift on a holiday, July 4th, Interestingly enough, we were in London once on July 4th, and they actually celebrated July 4th in London, American Independence Day. It was everywhere there. I was quite surprised that they celebrate the July 4th. Maybe they're just happy to get rid of us, I'm not sure. But they celebrate it over there. There's always the joke, do they celebrate that in London? Yes, they do. But they offered me a chance to work on those days. I was glad to do so. Because when you work on a holiday, they pay you triple time. Now, I'm gonna miss the hot dogs. I'm gonna miss the hamburgers. I'm gonna miss sitting around with the family and having an ice cold Mountain Dew. But I'm willing to do so because I know they're paying me triple time. If we're willing to give up what the rest of the world sees as their focus, as their goal, as their benefit, it will be because we truly believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So we must be surrendered. Surrender to whatever God would want. What would God have you to do today? Would God have you to be a missionary? Would God have you to be a preacher? Would God have you to be a pastor? Would God have you to be a Sunday school teacher? Would God have you to be a bus worker? Would God have you to reach out in your neighborhood and start a group of people coming from your neighborhood to this church? What would God have you do today? We must be surrendered. We must be surrendered to go. But I also believe we must be surrendered to stay. We must be surrendered to stay. 2 Corinthians 8:6 says, in so much that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Our president of our college, Dr. Wendell Evans, used to say, Christianity is not measured in years. It's measured in decades. You realize that the average church member lasts between 6 and 8 months in a church. The average youth pastor lasts a year and a half. The average pastor, when I was in church, used to be 3 years. It's now down to 2.5 years in a church. Why? Because we get to a point where we feel like I've done all I can do. We become frustrated. It becomes mundane. It becomes the norm. It becomes the usual. And so we begin to get happy feet. We begin to get itchy. We begin to look out and see someplace else to go. Well, if I just went over there, I'm sure it would be better. If I just went over there, I'm sure it would be all different. If I just went over there, I'm sure everything would change. And we begin to feel like we need something else instead of being surrendered to the Lord to stay where we are and plant and grow where God has us. You've heard the statement, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. One of my favorites was a painting by a Western artist, and he showed a horse who was in a pasture, green and lush with grass, and he's pushing against the barbed wire fence with all his might to reach one little sprig of grass in a patch of brown on the other side of the fence, because to him, all he can see is what he does not have. And that was always one of my favorite jokes until recently. I was traveling in the jungles in a place called Shamboyaku. Shamboyaku is near Picota, right by Tarapoto. You all know where that is, I'm sure. We got out to Shamboyaku, went down to a village called Santa Rosa, and sure enough, there's a pen. Sure enough, there's a horse. And in his pen, it's lush and green with grass. On the outside, it's well-traveled, so it's pure mud, and there's one little sprig of grass. And that horse is pushing with all he's got against the barbs, against the pain, against everything he can to reach that one little sprig of grass when everything he has around him is not enough. I do believe we need to be surrendered to go, but I do believe first we must be surrendered to stay. I believe we must decide we are where we are until the Lord moves us. And not be sending our resume out every day. When we first came to our church, a man walked in and in a pretty much a deadpan look. He visited us. We were still in a house. We started our church in a living room and dining room of a house. Sat down with his family. He listened to me preach. He walked up and he said, okay, Pastor. He said, are you here for just a few years or how long are you here for? And I said, well, I'm here for life. I'm here until the Lord changes me. He said, but I want you to understand something. When I taught in the Christian school, I was there for life. I was not looking to leave, but God moved me. So when I tell you I'm here for life, I can tell you that I'm here as long as God allows me to be. But I can tell you that I am not looking to leave. Okay, Pastor, that's good enough for me. And his family is still in our church to this day. Now, you must be surrendered to stay. For some people, that is a very difficult thing to do. For some people, it's very difficult where Jesus, in one day, went from a church of 5,000 of his disciples. And they all turned and left him, and he was left with the 12. Jesus built his church from 5,000 to 12 in one day, one sermon. He lost 4,988 people in one sermon. Are you willing to stay? Are you surrendered to that whenever something is preached and it's the hard thing? His people said, this is a hard saying. We cannot receive it. When a hard thing is preached, are you willing to surrender, to go to God and say, you know what, Lord, I don't understand this. Are you willing to go to God and say, Lord, I think my preacher might be crazy. And ask God to show you from his word why what your pastor said is true. I know your pastor for a few years. If he's going to preach it, I can guarantee you he's found it in the Bible. If somebody else is preaching you a new doctrine they've just found, be careful. This book's got some age on it. And all the doctrines have already been found, and they're already being taught, and they're already being preached. If someone is finding a new doctrine, there's a reason. It's because it's not in there. Are you surrendered to take the hard saying and stay? I truly believe many people will surrender their lives to Jesus. I truly believe that many will surrender to serve the Lord full time and will stay in their home church till the day they die, because the Lord wants them there, because that's where they should serve, because that's where God wants to use them. I've had many good friends in the ministry that came to the place where they could not stay. I remember several, Brother Hiles. They would go to Brother Hiles. Say, Brother Hiles, I have this opportunity. And he would say, look, I'd recommend you don't. Brother Hiles never played God in our lives. He'd just say, look, I recommend, or I'd recommend. And so for a little while they would put up with it. And eventually they would just take off. And I would say, oh, you're going to this? Yeah, you know, the Lord's called us. Okay. Well, I didn't even know you. No, we didn't get a chance to talk to preacher. We're just going to run off and go do it. Okay. And almost assuredly, they would be back in a year or two, or on to a different ministry, because they hadn't surrendered to do the hardest thing, which was stay. For some of us, it's hard to go. But for some of us, it's hard to stay. What does God want from you today? Are you surrendered? If God were to look at you today and say, look, I want you to go, are you willing and ready to go where God would have you to go? Oh, it's very easy to say, I'll go to Peru, or I'll go to Thailand, or I'll go to Africa, or I'll go to China, I'll go to India, I'll learn Tamil, I'll learn Farsi, I'll learn whatever the Lord would have me to learn. But how is it to go across the street? It's very easy to think in our minds of some big picture, someplace far off that I would be willing to go, but are you willing to talk to your neighbor? Are you surrendered to do what God would have you to do? Are you surrendered to go? And are you surrendered to stay?